So I have to start off with a confession. See, for me in my life, whenever internet breaks, either at my house or here at church, then my life stops. I absolutely cannot live without internet. And I will not do anything else until I get the internet fixed. See, I remember there was a few years ago here at church, the internet just stopped working no matter what we did, you know, unplug the modem, plug it back in. No matter how many times we did that, it wouldn't work. And I remember this eerie moment of everyone kind of coming out of their offices, staring at each other saying, whatever are we going to do? And so I called our service provider and it turns out that we needed a new modem. And I remember saying these words, I said, you know what? I will go and buy a new modem tomorrow. And even as I said it, just those words was like nail on a chalkboard. We said, tomorrow? No. And so I made that errand right then and there, installed the new modem, we had internet, and all rejoiced. I don't know what it is, but for some reason, whenever it goes down, my heart, my life, my mind is completely devoted towards fixing something like that. I don't know if maybe you experience the same kind of thing with whenever your car is broken and your life just has to take a pause, or maybe your heater this time of year or something. But you know, isn't it funny that sometimes these things happen in your life where you come to a crossroads, you have an event happen to you where you're just forced to take a pause. Now, maybe this isn't just a broken internet. Maybe this is a broken family. Maybe this is a broken work environment. Maybe it's a broken year. I mean, goodness, we only have a few days left of 2020 and good. Although 2021, here we go. Let's see what's in store for 2021. But isn't it amazing that sometimes things just happen where we're just thrown off of our game a little bit and we're just forced to seek. We're forced to study and desire something else. And so the question is, what are you seeking today? What kinds of things would you say are really driving you? What are the things that whenever you wake up, those are the things that get you out of bed? I mean, it certainly could be the desire to never have to wear a mask again, right? I think we're all looking forward to that. I think also that we're seeking for things to return back to normal, although maybe there's a fear that maybe not everything will ever be normal again like it was in the past. But the question is, what are you seeking? You see, our story today is from Matthew chapter 2, and we meet some seekers. We meet some wise men or kings or magi who are seeking God. And that's our first point here. These magi were seeking God. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star and when it rose and have come to worship him. See, this for me is one of the most interesting stories in the Bible. I mean, after all, who were these wise men? Who were these magi? You see, the Bible doesn't really even go into descriptions about who they are or even how many. And yes, I say how many because, well, in the nativity scene, we always have three wise men, one for each gift. And certainly there were three gifts. But think of it this way. If you're going to travel the desert 1,000 miles or more, would you just go by yourself and two of your best friends? Or are you bringing like a whole caravan of, say, 40 people? Yeah, I think that they had a caravan here. But imagine this. Imagine, who were these people, these magi? Well, we sing in the song about how they were kings, or the ESV translates this as wise men. But really the Greek word here is magos. And it sounds a lot like the word magic or magician. And I think that gives us a little bit of a window into who these people were. Certainly they had this royalty. Certainly they had this elite status, and they were very, very wealthy from this region, likely of Persia. But it's also likely that they were priests of a foreign religion, a foreign Persian religion. And so the reason why I say that these people came to seek God is because, yes, there was a little bit of a political seeking for them whenever they went to go and to ask Herod where this newborn king was so they can worship him. But I think it's a lot more than just simply a political or kingly thing that they're seeking. I think it also has to do much with their spiritual condition. You see, if they were clearly elites or wrapped up in this foreign false religion in Persia, and they were seeking the true living God. And after all, that had to have been what motivated them to leave their homes and to go on this 1,000-plus-mile journey. But imagine all of this happening for Jesus and for Mary and Joseph. You see, they show up at Jesus's house whenever he was a child. I know, again, I'm ruining the nativity scene just a little bit because, well, they weren't at the nativity scene. He was a child, likely 2 years old. And just imagine this. You get the knock on the door, and Mary and Joseph open the door, and all of a sudden there's this caravan with, you know, camels and foreigners and lots of them, and they're dressed very wealthy. And they come and they bring these gifts to this little toddler, Jesus. And then they bow down and they worship this toddler, Jesus. Imagine if you're Mary and you're seeing this. You know, you heard an angel tell you that this child that you're having is someone different than just a normal child. You knew this, but to see this event happening in your front lawn here. I mean, what do you think the neighbors thought? I mean, what do you think was going through everyone's mind when they saw these wealthy people from Persia show up and to bow down, worship, offer these gifts? You see, what they were seeking was what caused them to leave their home is ultimately they were seeking the true living God. So the question is, what kinds of things do we seek after today? And if we're honest, well, we just have to admit that oftentimes they are the wrong things. I mean, after all, what kinds of things drive you? What kinds of things get you out of bed in the morning? What drives the world? Well, money keeps the world going around, right? And we all want lots of it. Who doesn't? We want to be rich. We want to be powerful. We want lots of followers on Instagram. We want to feel good. We want to look good while doing it too. And that's just human nature, isn't it? I mean, we all want that. And here's the thing that we have to recognize is that if we're honest with ourselves, so many of the things that we pursue in life, so many of the things that we spend our time, our energy, our money on, so many things that we do are often just simply, well, for our benefit and our benefit only. They are all self-seeking interest, so many of them. And the reason I mention this is because sometimes it's easy to think that, well, maybe some of the things that I'm doing here are for the right reasons or they're good. So sometimes things have this veneer, albeit sometimes very thin and people can see through it, this veneer that it's this like altruistic, holy, wonderful cause or thing that we're doing, when really if we go beyond the surface a little bit, we see that actually it's just simply self-seeking and it really has no benefit to ourselves even, or certainly the people around us. And the reason I mention this is because, well, I heard this story the other day from a friend of mine, and she was saying about the holidays, you know how oftentimes, not this year, but oftentimes lots of family would fly in and lots of relatives in a home for a holiday meal. And every time that an errand needed to be ran, you know, we ran out of butter. Oh, it's an emergency. We need someone to go to the store. Every time that an errand came up, her uncle would raise his hand and say, I will serve this family by going to the store on Christmas Day. And she remembers thinking, wow, I mean, isn't it amazing that he's got that servant's heart. He is such a great person for taking the bullet, taking the heat to leave this house full of relatives and to go to the store multiple times to get out of that house for 20 minutes, 45 minutes, a couple hours sometimes just to get butter. And then as she got older, she realized, wait a second, it's not that he's serving the family. No, actually, this is an excuse just to get out of the home with all the crazy relatives. So if we're honest, we just simply need a heart check. We just need the ability just to pause and really to examine the things that we seek after and say, okay, but what things are we really seeking? And ultimately, what we get to is a place of confession, where we go to God and say, God, we're sorry for seeking after things that have no benefit to God or his kingdom or to our family or our community, but rather it's just simply to ourselves, and oftentimes ends in destruction. And so really, because of that sin is the reason why Jesus came. See, one of my favorite stories in the Bible comes from Luke chapter 19. And in this story, we meet Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. So tax collectors were, well, they were traitors and they were thieves. And really, they're also just used synonymously with sinners. That's what even the crowd calls Zacchaeus. He is a sinner. And yet, here is Zacchaeus. He is he's hiding up in a tree whenever Jesus comes to town. So Jesus comes and there's the crowds, he's a celebrity, they're all trying to get close to Jesus. And Zacchaeus, I think, is also seeking God in this moment because, well, he's there. He's not somewhere else, but he's there and he wants to see Jesus, but the only way he can is to climb up this tree. And here's the thing, Jesus seeks Zacchaeus. In fact, what Jesus does is, you almost kind of picture that he has to cut through the crowd, kind of like Moses with, well, parting the Red Sea, but with people, and that he has to cut through the crowd to get right to Zacchaeus in the tree. And out of everyone there, he goes to the one who is labeled a sinner, who is the chief tax collector. And whenever Zacchaeus confesses his sins to Jesus about how he has stolen and then he wants to repay, then Jesus says this. He calls Zacchaeus a son of Abraham, saying that because of his confession that he is now in the family of faith. But on top of that, here's what Jesus says. He says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And that right there sums up the mission of Jesus. He has come to seek and to save the lost. See, this is why Christmas happened 2,000 years ago, was because Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. You see, because of our sin, the things that we've done wrong, our regrets, our brokenness, because of that, we have then been separated from God. And so the reason why Jesus came, the reason why God dwelled among us in flesh, and the reason he was born and placed in a manger ultimately is because of our sin. And ultimately because he has come to seek and to save us. You know, I just love that word seek. And I'm now in this point applying it to God, saying how God seeks after us. And it's so true because unfortunately, there's this idea out there that so many people in our culture believe. In fact, so many Christians believe it too. They believe that God is, well, he's just up in the clouds and he's just hanging out. He's busy watching Netflix or something. And he doesn't really care about us. He's not really involved in your life. He's not really involved in this world. He's just kind of passive. But actually, the Bible describes God very differently, describes God as one who knows, a God who loves. In fact, John 3:16, right? The reason Christmas is because for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God is a God who is active, who intervenes into our world. And what happened 2,000 years ago in the manger was that God intervened into that situation and brought us Jesus. For Jesus has come to seek and to save us. And think about this salvation because Jesus came, because of the manger, that we get to inherit eternal life. That through faith in Jesus, we believe that yes, Jesus really did come and that he really did die on the cross. For our confession, our belief that we believe these things, then we are promised to inherit eternal life. That our home is not here, but rather our home is in heaven. And we're given that promise because of Jesus and because of Christmas. Jesus has come to seek and to save you. And as a result, our response then is to seek after the kingdom of God. See, this is a lot like the first commandment where we're called to have no other gods. Ultimately, God should be number one in our lives. Hebrews 12 says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy was set before him and endured the cross, despising his shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." See, what Hebrews is calling us to do here is to take our sins that so easily entangle us. Think about that, just to wrap around you as you're trying to run this race, and to throw them off. And indeed, that's what we're called to do here, and that's what it means to seek after the kingdom of God. You know, when I asked earlier about what are the things that you seek, what are your desires, the things that you spend your time, your energy and money on, any of those things that are evil, any of those things that are sinful, what we're called to do is to take those things and to throw them off. Let's look at this passage here from Philippians, because I think this really defines what it means to seek after the kingdom of God. It says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true." So take a look at this word here. Write it down. If you have notes, circle it. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Seek these things. True, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise. Now I know the phrase kingdom of God sounds very intangible. Like what is that talking about? Well, Paul just gave us a list right here in Philippians. Pursue these things. Seek after these things. That's what it means to seek after the kingdom of God. Ultimately, take the sins, as Hebrews describes it, the things that so easily entangle us, run the race, throw these things off. In other words, war against sin in our lives, war against temptation. And ultimately, what we're going to realize very quickly is that we can't do all these things on our own. Now, see, if you were just to try to go out into battle by yourself, ultimately, you're going to lose. And what we need is we need to be connected with the source. And that source here is God. God is able to give us strength to be able to do all these things. And so really, as we head into, well, we're just a few short days away from 2021. And this is a time of year that we start to think about, well, how do we want this year, next year to be different than this past year? And well, I'm sure we can think of a million things that we want to be different this year. But in our own life, think about, let's evaluate our relationship with God. How is it that we can really connect with God? How is it that we can receive his power, his strength, all of the promises that he gives us in the Bible? How can we be connected and receive those things? Well, it's got to be through his word. And we got to be in his word daily to receive that. We got to be poured into. things like a small group where you have Christian community that can actually pour into you and encourage you. Things like serving, things like being here in worship, either in person or to continue online. All of these things are a way for us to connect with God. And ultimately, that's what it's all about, connecting with God and also to receive His forgiveness. See, we need forgiveness from God. I mean, after all, as we just spent this time here, I know certainly I've been convicted of many things. And that's what it is that whenever we go to God in confession and say, God, I'm sorry, that He promises to give us this forgiveness. And this forgiveness, by the way, what it really means here is that God has completely erased it away. We are washed as white as snow, that we are reconciled with God. And it's amazing how many times I'll be talking with Christians who love Jesus and you know, are in the Bible and serve and do all these things, but they start talking about something that happened even several years ago, and they still hang on to this guilt and this shame, even though that they've confessed it to God. And they'll even say they've confessed it to God multiple times, but they still yet to actually receive that forgiveness. And friends, I have to tell you, that's one of the tools that the devil uses for us to not receive God into our lives, but also for us not to experience the life that Jesus has desired for us, this life of freedom, this life of hope. And yes, I say hope because for some reason, in the past few weeks, I've just been clamoring to that word hope. And I think our world needs to hear about the hope of Jesus today more than ever. In fact, even we're singing the carols the other night, and there's that line that says, a thrill of hope for the weary world rejoices. And you talk about a weary world. There was certainly back then waiting on Jesus, waiting on this Messiah. And today, I think we can say the same thing, that our world is weary and as well often gloomy. And yet, because of Jesus, Him being born and placed in the manger, that we get to have hope. So friends, as we go into this next year, we go into 2021, may it be a year where we can, as Hebrews here describes, we could throw off these pursuits, these things that we seek after, that don't glorify You or build Your kingdom, but also that things like Philippians talks about, the things that are noble and pure and lovely, for all this is describing seeking first the kingdom of God. And may we go into 2021 receiving that connection through God. And so with that, let us pray. Dear God, indeed, we thank You so much just for the ability just to pause and to ask this word, seek. What things do we seek? And God, we thank You as well for the magi, the wise men, the kings from 2,000 years ago who came from the east because they were seeking the true living God. They wanted to worship this Messiah that was prophesied and promised. And they come and they sacrifice bearing gifts and they bow down and they worship. And so God, we pray that as we go into this next year and really just into our week, whatever that looks like, God, we pray that we can seek You and to bow down and to worship You and receive You into our lives. And all this we pray, amen. And friends, indeed, may you go with this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you His peace. And all God's people said, amen.